Well, good morning again, everyone, and welcome again to Peninsula Hope Church. I'm so excited to bring the message this morning. I don't know how many of you will remember this, but there was a popular worship song about 20 years ago called Heart of Worship that was written and performed by Matt Redman. And the chorus of the song, and this might jog your memory, says, "I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus." And as you can see from the lyrics of the chorus, this song talks about the essence or the heart of worship, which is that worship is all about Jesus. It's not about ourselves, the way the music sounds, or anything else. And today, as I continue the sermon series about musical worship that I've been preaching throughout the year, I'd like us to talk about and expand on not only what that we want to keep our heart and focus on Jesus, the true heart of worship, but also on what it means to have a heart that truly worships God. We can have knowledge about the practice of musical worship, which I've been teaching and preaching about throughout the year, things like how we worship God, why we worship God, and the importance of singing and physical expressions of worship. But if our hearts are focused on the wrong things, like how we look or sound, or our own feelings and circumstances, or our own expectations of how we want a worship service to sound or feel or look like, then we've really missed the point. Because as I mentioned, in the song Heart of Worship, it says it's all about Jesus. And today I want to talk about what it means to have a true heart of worship. So let's begin by answering the question, what is a heart of worship? A heart of worship recognizes that the object of worship is God, not anything else that comes from musical or worship experiences. In Exodus 20, verses 3 to 5 in the NIV, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." I know, this seems like Bible basics, right? Bible 101. But this is really important because I don't know about you, but I have to admit that sometimes in my life, I've been more focused on how certain songs or worship experiences made me feel or how they didn't make me feel, than on really worshiping God for who he is. I remember when I was in middle school and then in high school, I was learning how to have a relationship with God, and I was really learning to make my faith my own. And I enjoyed musical praise and worship so much on mission trips and at youth camps and retreats because they usually had young and really talented worship bands who were singing songs I connected with. And so it was easy to go back to church and think, I don't really connect with the worship here, or it's harder to worship God here because these are songs my parents like and connect with. They're not really my songs. But that was me being really immature. It wasn't coming from a heart of worship. I mean, I may have been worshiping the songs or the worship bands or the atmosphere more than I was worshiping God. It's scary to admit or think about. Also, a heart of worship views worship as an act of love. We're going to come back to some Bible basics here with Matthew 22, 37 to 38 in the NIV. It says, "Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.'" As we can see from what Jesus is teaching, and what the Bible says, because this is Old Testament and he was quoting it, love is both an act of our will and an act of passion or feeling. And as we all know from our experiences with human love, whether it's your family relationships or close friends or with a spouse or significant other, sometimes you feel that joyful, passionate, loving feeling for the other person. But sometimes you don't. Let's be real. And in those moments, it's a choice to act in a loving way. The same goes for worshiping God, because sometimes we feel so good worshiping God through music or in a worship service or in a worship atmosphere. But sometimes we don't feel like it, and it's really more an act of our will. And to understand this more, let's look at a passage that gives us insight into how we can have a heart of worship. Romans 12, 1 and 2 in the NIV says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So from this passage, there are three big ideas that I want to focus on that really teach us how to have a heart of worship. The first one is that the heart of worship is a gift. We can only worship God because he has been merciful toward us and given us the gift of salvation. I'm just going to mention the other two, but then I'm going to come back to them later on. The second one is the heart of worship is a choice, because Paul tells us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. But because we are living and not dead sacrifices, we have to choose to do it. And the third one is that the heart of worship is developed as we are transformed and our minds are renewed by the Spirit of God. We continue developing our own heart of worship. But let's come back to the first idea, the first big idea, and talk about the heart of worship is a gift. The heart of worship and having a heart of worship means that you really understand that none of us deserve salvation. We deserve to pay the penalty of our sins, which is eternal suffering apart from God. And it's amazing that instead of giving us what we deserve, God has been extravagant in his mercy and grace toward us by saving us from his sin, from our sins, not his sins. Definitely, he's never sinned, definitely from our sins. But our ability to worship God really comes from this gift of salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 in the NIV says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This reminder that we've been saved by grace alone and that being able to worship is a gift is important for two reasons. The first is it keeps us humble because it reminds us that our acts of worship are not about showing God or others how devoted we are. Really, they're acts of love and gratitude for the gift that God's given us. And the other reason this is important is because it helps us when we feel like hypocrites or when we feel stuck in guilt over our sins. When you come to Sunday worship, whether in person in the future or when you're on your way to joining the Zoom meeting, you may be thinking of how you sinned the night before or the argument that you got into with your spouse or your family member before the service or on your way to the service. And in those moments, it's important to remember the gift of salvation. And if you need to just take a moment to confess your sin to God, to repent, and then ask for forgiveness. And then you can thank God for forgiving you. And after that, you can make the choice to just keep thanking him as you worship and praise him. And just one other note on hypocrisy. If you're feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit about your sin and you choose to repent, then it's not hypocritical at all to worship God. It's actually a really proper response. But it would be hypocritical to sin and then just keep sinning, to not repent, and then to come to worship, to worship God, and act as if you have no sin, or maybe hide your sin and just act like, yeah, I'm good. I'm so holy. There's a difference between those two scenarios. And because God has mercifully given us salvation and the ability to worship him, the only logical and proper response is to yield ourselves to God, to offer our lives to God as a living sacrifice. But we have to choose to do this. And that's our next big idea, which is that the heart of worship is a choice. When Paul talked about living sacrifices in Romans 12:1, he was drawing a contrast with the animals that lost their lives in Jewish worship. We don't physically die, but we are called to lay down our lives, to surrender them to God and to live for Him instead of ourselves. But as believers, this type of worship doesn't stop after we sacrificially yield ourselves to God in the worship service, because that's just the beginning. We're also called to yield ourselves to God through the way we live our lives. If we're choosing to worship God and to focus on Him, it means we're choosing not to focus on our circumstances or anything else that draws our attention away from God. And when I think of people in the Bible who chose to worship, I think of Job. He lost everything in a day. His children, his property, all his wealth, everything he had. And the verse we're about to read is what happens right after he'd had like four or five different servants come and say, these enemies just came and attacked and carried off all of your sheep or camels. I don't remember which was which. Or there was a storm and it killed all of a certain animal. And then the worst was that his children were all in a house together in, I think, the oldest brother's home. And a windstorm came and destroyed the house and they lost their lives. So after Job gets all this news, this is what we read in Job 1, 20 to 21 in the NASB. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's powerful. And if you read the rest of Job, you'll see that he laments and he grieves all he has lost. And, you know, you may be suffering now, or you may suffer in the future, and you may not always feel like singing a joyful praise song to God when you're struggling. Choosing to come to God with your pain, being honest about your feelings, even singing songs of lament, of longing, can eventually lead you to songs of gratefulness, hope, and faith, as God, in His own timing, gives you the grace to see His love for you in Christ more clearly. But worship is also a choice in the mundane moments of life, when nothing remarkable is happening. We tend to cry out to God for help when we're hurting, and hopefully we thank God when He blesses us in amazing ways. But we develop a heart of worship when we choose to worship God in the everyday moments and on what might feel like a typical Sunday. 1 Corinthians 10:31 in the NIV says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Choosing to worship God is a daily and a moment-by-moment choice. But I also want to talk about worship services. A heart of worship chooses to worship God no matter what song is being played or sung. Because I know some of us in this group probably prefer when the worship team plays a hymn. And some prefer really new or current worship songs, maybe those you hear on the radio. And some probably prefer relatively current worship songs, but the ones you're familiar with, you know, the ones you know the words to. And I'm sure there are so many other preferences out there that I did not even mention. But no matter how you feel about the song that's being sung, it's really important that you focus on the eternal realities behind the words and not just on the music. Because when we do that, our perspective changes. And as one author put it, we start to see that while music may get tired, Jesus doesn't. The author of a book called True Worshippers, Bob Coughlin, recounted an experience at a worship conference where he was speaking. "One evening, I stood in the front row as we sang numerous songs filled with shallow theology, too much repetition, and a focus on our feelings and achievements for God. At least that's what it seemed like to me. To top it off, the presentation felt more slick than sincere. I struggled for a few minutes, then realized I had a choice. I could continue to catalog all the things I thought were deficient in the song choices and leadership and simply hide my discontent, or I could seek to exalt God. By God's grace, and only after years of choosing the first option in similar settings, I went with the second. Kneeling on the floor, I told God I was proud and asked him to help me see his glory more clearly. I started declaring who he was and why he was so great. I thanked him that Jesus was a mighty Savior who had come to purchase my forgiveness and adoption. After a few minutes, my soul was renewed, my mind was fixed on God's mercy to me, and the leader was no longer my focus. Jesus was. It's interesting that the author said he had chosen to focus on the wrong things many times before, but this time he chose to focus on exalting Jesus. My guess is that he also had some practice choosing to focus on Jesus when he was not feeling motivated or excited to worship God. And this brings us to the last big idea, which is the heart of worship is developed. We don't automatically have a heart that truly worships God the moment we accept Christ as Savior. We've probably got the love and passionate feelings part down, but the will and choosing to worship, that one's probably still got to come. So let's look again at Romans 12:2 in the NIV, just to remind us and get some ideas of how to develop a heart of worship. It says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." This verse speaks to some of the results of yielding ourselves to God in worship. One result is that we will choose not to conform to the pattern of the world, but instead will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as we grow in our faith and allow God to transform us and renew our mind through his word, we can learn to develop a heart of worship. And choosing to worship despite how we feel, whether we prefer the worship music, and despite distractions, really takes practice and a willingness to let the Holy Spirit help us. And as you've probably noticed, this choosing and this developing a heart of worship are pretty closely connected. But how can we develop or continue to develop a heart of worship, a heart that really truly worships God? One of the first things we can do is to prepare your heart to worship. This process really starts before you come to the worship service on Sundays. Spend some time before you arrive, as I said, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal any unconfessed sin in your heart, or confess and repent of any sins that you're already aware of. Because we often feel disconnected from God when we haven't repented or we haven't surrendered our hearts to God. In Psalm 32, 2-5 in the NIV, it says, "Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Sometimes we might feel the Holy Spirit's conviction in a really strong way, or sometimes you just might have this feeling of not really wanting to enter God's presence when there's sin in your heart. But however it is that you feel, the solution is the same: to come to God as you are and repent, just like the worship song that we sang this morning. And ask, as you come and you repent, it's asking for God's merciful forgiveness, because we know he grants it, not because we deserve it, but because he is so gracious and loving. Another part of preparing your heart to worship is to take time to remember what God has done for you and all the reasons that you have to praise him, because once you get started, it's going to be hard to stop. Also, ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and to make his presence known in the worship service. And then come expecting that he will answer that prayer. Don't just pray it and think, oh, I hope it happens. Come expecting, like, yeah, Holy Spirit, what are you going to do today? And not for us, as I preached last time, for us to feel good, but for us to say, how do you want to change me and make me more like you and use me to advance your kingdom? And then also be prepared to speak words of encouragement and blessing to others, because part of worship is serving God by serving others. And the other main way I want to focus on of how we can really develop a heart that worships God is to repeatedly choose to focus on God instead of the things that distract us from worship. There are so many things around us that can distract us. When we're in person at the worship service, if we're at home on Zoom, it's really easy to look around and get distracted and sometimes find things that you want to complain about. We can also be really distracted by our own feelings. We may relate to David when he said in Psalm 42:5 in the NIV, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Just as I mentioned about the example of Job, we can come to God with all of our feelings. But sometimes our feelings can distract us. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, as David did, to put our hope in God and to choose to praise him. When we focus on God instead of our feelings, we may find that our feelings begin to follow what we're focusing on. Something else that might be a big distraction is the fact that we can't sing, or we just don't feel like singing, or let's be honest, sometimes those around us can't really sing. Don't call anybody out on that, okay? Just keep it to yourself, just between you and God. But let's talk about a few steps, a few things we can do when we feel distracted during musical worship. And these come from Bob Coughlin, the author I mentioned earlier. The first one is just acknowledge it. Confess this sign of your fallenness to God. Let him know that you're weak and you need his help. And then ask God to help you, to think about his grace and mercy that allows you to sing at all. And remember, as we talked about earlier, that worship is a gift. And lastly, if you're distracted by your own lack of singing ability or by people around you, remember that both your offering of worship and theirs are perfected by Jesus. Just like a parent loves the scribbled on stick figure drawings that their three-year-old gives them because of the heart behind it, God accepts our imperfect offerings, both because of our sincerity and because Jesus made our worship acceptable by his perfect offering on the cross. God is more concerned with our hearts than with musical perfection. We could perform the most beautiful music, but have hearts filled with pride. I want to conclude by reading another part of the song, Heart of Worship. It says, "I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart." More than the songs we sing, we want our hearts to be filled with worship for God. God knows where your heart is when it comes to worship. Do you? I encourage you to search your heart and think about and ask the Holy Spirit which area you need help with. Is it understanding what it means to have a heart of worship? Is it receiving the gift of being able to worship? Is it choosing to worship or developing a heart of worship? Let's take what we've been learning about worship throughout this year and apply it by developing hearts that truly worship God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the incredible gift of salvation, which enables us to worship you. It enables us to see your greatness and to thank you for the amazing gifts you've given us. I pray today, Lord, that you would help us to examine our hearts and to be really open and willing to hear from you about what you want to teach us. Lord, if you want us to understand more of what it means to have a heart of worship or to really be able to receive this gift of worship, or Lord, do we need to work on choosing to worship you, or do we just need to keep developing a heart of worship? So Lord, I pray today that you would just guide each of us. I pray that you'd help us. I thank you that you accept our imperfect offerings, and Jesus, that you perfect them. So God, we just want to offer ourselves to you. We want to worship you with whole hearts. We want to give everything we have to you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name.